Hey everybody, welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. I'm your host, Vince. How are you? Welcome to another episode. I hope you are well. Before we do anything, let me give a quick shout out to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. If you like the show, consider checking it out. Links to everything down below. I have to thank Willie DeWitt, who is here tonight. Thank you, Willie DeWitt, for being here tonight and supporting the show. He's part of our live studio audience tier. Happy 2025 to you fine folks at home. How are ya? It's the new year. What resolutions? I don't have my little Pip-Boy on. I don't have my watch on. What resolutions have you chosen? It is December. It's January the 8th, 2025 in the year of someone's Lord. What resolutions did you pick up? At the gym, it's nothing but people who should have been working out years ago. I don't know. When I decided I was done being bigger than I wanted to be, I went to the gym in June. I didn't wait till January. So I just don't understand why I have to wait 25 minutes to get on the gosh damn stair machine. But from what I understand, January 10th is National Quitter's Day because of how many people start a resolution and then quit the resolution almost immediately. Even Willie DeWitt in chat, I don't believe that I need a special day to be resolute about something. That's my point, exactly. Look, let's not start this on a negative tip. It's 2025. It's a nice number. 25 is a nice number. You know, 2035 is not going to hit like 25 does. Make it the best year you can possibly make it. I hope you guys are trying to work on something, do something a little bit better. I think show-wise, I don't want to say it because it was also kind of a goal of mine last year, and everything that happened last year kind of put me off track of the goal. But I have a show goal that is rather achievable. I think I could honestly achieve it. If I really put my nose to the grindstone, I could probably get it by February. That being said, let's see what the coming weeks and months look like for me. Halfway through the roaring 20s. True. Yeah, isn't it wild that we're like halfway through the 20s? It feels like they just start. Isn't it wild how COVID started and it was like, here's the 20s, and then it felt like 2020 to 2023, 24 took forever. Like it really felt like it took about 19 years, and now we're here, and it's like, oh my god, we're halfway through. It feels like the 20s just started. And because, you know, the apocalypse is slowly becoming upon us, be it locusts, be it nukes, be it famine, we have tremendous fires that are in California right now, and I, in colorful Colorado, have not yet seen the smoke. Sometimes we can get the smoke, we can see it a bit, and because we are just having fire season, there's five seasons right now, winter, spring, summer, fall, and fire season is somewhere in there. California, Kyle sent me this like an hour ago, if that, from Variety. Production on Fallout Season 2 has been postponed amid the Los Angeles fires. So right now, California's on fire. Like I said, I haven't been able to see the smoke yet. This is, like I said, from Variety. Why is it so bad? An article by Pat Saperstein, good name. This is a direct quote from the article. The LA County Fire Department has specifically instructed that all permits issued for filming in the communities of Altadena, La Crescenta, Flint Ridge, and unincorporated Pasadena are withdrawn. So, that being said, the show was going to take a little bit of time. Fine. You know, the show and the games are going to take forever. We're not going to see a Fallout show and a Fallout game. I really thought we weren't going to see a Fallout game till 29. And then someone pointed out to me that we're already at 25. And we're probably not going to see Elder Scrolls until 27. That's kind of where I'm at. I think we might hear rumblings of it next year, but I don't think we'll see it till 27. And I really don't think we're getting Fallout 5 until at least 33, 35. So, you know, the show will come out when the show comes out. And good, let it take some time. If they're smart, they could film some of the fires, maybe, or some of the aftermath and get free shots. I don't know the legality of that, but the show has been delayed. Actually, Willie DeWitt in chat brings up a really good point. That might be like accidental snuff, and I didn't think of that. So I hope they don't use anything. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's bad for the soul, for the heart, for the mind, for the cockles. All right, that's enough. So I have a piece of lore today that I'd really, really, really like to get into because it's a family from the Fallout games that I feel like just kind of exist. And I was thinking about them sometime earlier this year, and I just wanted to talk about them. Before I can do that, I have to thank the Patreon. There's some names on screen currently. These fine folks have helped the show grow. I actually, guys, check this out. You ready for this one? You ready? I don't think you're ready. I actually recently had to buy some new equipment, some stuff for the show, and because of our fine contributors, people who enjoy the show, I went and I bought that, and, you know, it was easy. 1, 2, 3, in and out. Bought what I needed and got out. I didn't have to sit there and budget anything. I didn't have to go, well, if I work overtime, none of that. Because of the people who the names on screen currently, who support the show, I think I'm going to be able to ramp up the production value pretty significantly. Like, to a level that I'm going to be very, very proud of. Something new, something different. We'll be able to move some things around and have some fun. The names that I have to thank that are on screen currently. Thank you to Noah the OG. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Willie DeWitt, who is in chat tonight. Thank you to Willie DeWitt. I thank you. Thank you for being here. After Willie DeWitt, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. After Mellow Milhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. After Captain Lennox, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. Thank you again for your patronage. Thank you again for your support. Like I said, the show is going to continue to grow and get bigger and better because of some things that I'm about to do. A little bit of new, a little bit of old. All together, we're going to have a good time. I love you. Thank you. Hi, welcome. This is the first piece of lore for 2025, and I've been having a rather busy week, actually. A lot of stuff and things have been going on. I went through my closet. I moved, actually, as of the recording of this, oh, I should have brought this up earlier. As of the recording of this, I have lived in Colorado for 4 years. Today is the, January the 8th is the 4-year anniversary of me living here. I left on January 6th, and I got here on January 8th because I drove, and now I'm here. But this is the first one, and I went to the Patreon, like I usually do, to ask the question of what I should ask, or what I should talk about in this week's lore, and I couldn't get to the computer in time. Every day I got home, it was like closer to 11, and I would pretty much shower, eat, and go to bed, and sometimes not even in that order. And I sat down and just said, what do you want to hear? And Brotherhood Outcast gave me a really good suggestion. He gave me Fisto, and I would have loved to have done Fisto, but I've done Fisto in the past. And it is part of older lore, and I do want to go back and redo a lot of older lore soon. That's kind of been one of my goals for the show, is to go through and be like, oh, here's all of these old lores that I'd like to delete the video and redo the video in kind of the new format that we have now. That all being said, I'm going to have to, like, that's a weekend project. Like, I sit down and write things out, and then, like, you know, the Patreon will. Anyway, I asked, he gave me a good one, but I couldn't do it because I've already done it. I'm not ready to tackle that project. So this week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, which links to everything are in the description below. And if you like the show, check it out because you might be able to watch these episodes get filmed live. Check it out. This week's lore I bring to you, once again, from the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, the Stahl family from Fallout 3 and subsequently an unmarked quest called Leo's Habit and the Brass Lantern. Where do people come from in the wasteland? Settlements pop up all over. Sometimes settlements are as large as Diamond City. Sometimes they're as small as Abernathy Farms. Sometimes they're the Strip. And sometimes they're a small fiend camp outside of the El Rey Motel. Where do people come from? Why do people set up shop in certain spots? Both metaphorically and literally, why do people set up shop in certain areas? And that's where we get the Stahl family from Fallout 3. They're in Megaton. They're a family of three people. It's Andy, Leo, and Jenny Stahl, and they run the Brass Lantern, which is Colin Moriarty's number one competition. If you ask around town, Manya Vargas will tell you that they come from, quote, somewhere out east. Doesn't really help. Something east of DC, something east of, you know, Baltimore, Maryland, something east of just Megaton. They don't really specify, just somewhere from east of there. Like I said, they're the owners and the operators of the Brass Lantern, and it takes us to the youngest brother. So there's kind of a discrepancy. Some places in the game will say that Leo is the youngest. Some say that Andy is the youngest. According to the Fallout 3 Game of the Year guide, which I consider those canon, they're an official piece that has come out, even if it's the writer who wrote them who's kind of adding to the game, who's inferring things from the game, I consider them canon because in the long run, it's small things that really don't matter that is just fun to flesh out the world. Andy Stahl is a 23-year-old man. He's essentially the owner and the proprietor of the Brass Lantern. He's got a strength. His special is a strength of 4, perception of 4, endurance of 4, charisma of 7, intelligence of 6, agility of 4, and a luck of 6. He seems like he's a mild-mannered kind of guy, but actually is thinking constantly about him and his family, and is willing to do more than he's probably willing to admit to make sure that they're safe. He's a guy who actually doesn't really even like where he's currently at, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more in a moment, but he's doing what he's doing to help his family. More than anything, I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Dukepedia, if you will. I play these games, I love these games, but I use it as a reference heavily. There is a quote from the Game of the Year edition of the strategy guide, and it says, Andy has been talking to Mr. Burke about his insidious plan to blow up Megaton so he can move the restaurant to a better, safer, more lucrative location. Andy doesn't care about the city of Megaton. He's not someone who's there because he likes the atmosphere, the rent's cheap, the schools are good. He doesn't care about that type of stuff. He's there to make a dollar. And I think it's a story that could have, should have been expounded upon a little bit more to show a man who is taking care of his siblings. The parents aren't around, so what happened to them? Who knows? You could have seen the story of like, yeah, I understand that I'm overworked and I'm tired all the time, but I'm trying to provide for people that I love. Immediately setting up the Brass Lantern, he became a thorn in the side of Colin Moriarty. Andy also hates Colin Moriarty and his saloon. He makes jokes about the Brass Lantern, saying that it's safer, it's cleaner, and you are less likely to have piss in your drinks if you get a drink at the Brass Lantern. Moriarty's not a good person. Moriarty makes Gob pay rent, even though he's his slave. Moriarty also is taking advantage of people. There's actually a terminal entry that you can read about the Stahl family that is how to take advantage of the Stahls to get rid of them from the town, so Moriarty makes more money. The only thing that Moriarty actually has on the Stahls and the Brass Lantern is Nova, the prostitute. So because he can sell sex, he has this upper hand that the Brass Lantern just doesn't have. It's the oldest profession for a reason. So Moriarty can peddle sex to the people who come from all over the wastes with Miss Nova. And they just really can't do much about it in the Brass Lantern because they just sell small stuff. They have the little bar outside, they have the inside, what have you. Andy even jokes about getting a new refrigerator or a prostitute to help with sales. He just really cares about his family, and he really hates Megaton, and he wants to leave. If you ask him about the area outside of Megaton, he'll go, fuck this place. If it wasn't for you wasteland types coming through with your caps, I'd be out of here in a second, assuming that I could convince Jenny and Leo. He just works constantly to the point where everybody in town notices that he's working all the time, and they call him a workaholic. If you speak to him, he's even like, yep, trying to balance these books. What do you need? Why are you bothering me? Multiple times he'll say stuff like that just to kind of be like, get away from me. I have to work now. Let's talk about Jenny Stahl. Let's talk about the middle sister. She's 24 years old. Her special is strength of 4, perception of 5, endurance of 4, charisma of 7, intelligence of 5, agility of 6, and a luck of 5. She runs. She's the manager. She's the seller, the proprietor, the main person at the Brass Lantern who you're going to talk to if you need to buy, if you need to sell, if you're hungry, thirsty, happy, horny. Jenny says Leo is the eldest, like I said later, but Andy will say that Leo is the youngest. And what's nice about her that I never really noticed, because honestly, I don't think I've ever really talked to this fella all that much. I know that he takes care of one of the kids in town, but Billy Creel. Billy Creel and Jenny Stahl are sweet on each other, and they visit each other. Well, Billy visits Jenny while at work, and, you know, feelings are reciprocated, which I think is super sweet. They just like each other. They want to be around each other, and he'll come and visit, and they'll talk, and then, you know, I used to have a Tumblr page way back in the day, and I remember reading a lot of fanfic and stuff on there about Fallout, because it was like, what do you like? And it was like, Fallout 3, Bully on PS2, couple other games, and that was really it. I didn't really use it all that much, but I remember seeing a lot of fanfic about Fallout stuff, and I don't remember seeing anything about Jenny Stahl and Billy Creel, and I kind of want to go back and see if I could find any. Other than that, that's all we really know about Jenny outside of the other stuff about her family and where she works, but I've said a lot of it already. And then we come to, could be the youngest, could be the oldest. On the wiki, it says that Leo is a 25-year-old man with a special of 4 strength, 5 perception, 4 endurance, 7 charisma, 5 intelligence, 6 agility, and 5 luck. More outspoken than the rest of the family. He's kind of got a little bit more of a rapport with the people in town. Someone actually refers to him as crazy and says that the whole Stahl family is a little wacky. When he was younger, I have written here, in his younger days, which he's 25, so how much younger, he traveled with caravans, and this is where he picked up the habit of jet. That's right. Leo Stahl's a druggist. He's a drug addict. Most of the town and even his siblings don't know that he has a jet addiction, except for 3 different people that you can meet inside a Megaton. One being Doc Church, who knows that he goes up to the water treatment plant at night to get high, Mr. Burke, and also Colin Moriarty. If you hack Colin's terminal, you can actually read on the terminal a time that Leo came into Moriarty's saloon, tried to hook up with Nova. Nova said no and slapped him because he didn't want to pay, and then he stumbled out. And even in the terminal entry, it says he was higher than a bird in flight, and Moriarty wanted to use that as a way to take down Andy Stahl and the Brass Lantern. In the unmarked quest of Leo's habit, you could talk to any one of those 3 characters to initiate the quest, and you can do a couple different things to end it. You can pretty much go talk to him. If you get the good karma, you can speech check him to see if he wants to kick the habit. And if you can do that, he'll give you the key and say, here's my stash, go clear it out, go get rid of it. Neutral, he turns into a chem dealer, a chemist, a chemer. And at night you can go up to the water treatment plant and buy from him. And if you get bad karma, if you do the bad karma ending, you can say, what's it worth for me to keep the secret from your family? So he'll pay you bribery money, and then you just also get to go buy drugs from him. There's a neon sign outside the Brass Lantern that's written in Mandarin. It's either Mandarin or Cantonese. It's a Chinese language. It's an Asian language. I have it written down what it translates to here. And I'm going to say this wrong. I'm going to let you know that right now I do not speak really any other language other than English. I have a couple spatterings of other languages, but it's predominantly English up in this old melon of mine. And it's Mingjia Qiao. And if it translates correctly, it's missing a character, but if it translates correctly, it's Ming Fast Food. According to Willie DeWitt in chat, I guess they did a quick Google search. Ming was a restaurant in DC at some point, according to Google. So who knows? Maybe that's a Chinese spot that the Bethesda devs just really liked, or one guy really liked, or grew up going to, or something, and just wanted to shout them out in the game. That was always a thing that was perplexing to me about the Brass Lantern, was if everything was communist Chinese, why is there a Chinese neon sign outside? Anyway, that's the Stahl family, and a little bit on the Brass Lantern. It's a family that I was thinking about recently, because they just kind of exist. I've been in the Brass Lantern a handful of times. I remember going into the Brass Lantern, not just sitting at the bar outside, but going into the Brass Lantern and talking with Jenny Stahl, but not really doing much. And it was always one of those, them and like Billy Creel, maybe we'll do Billy Creel soon. Just one of the, it was two of those things that like I just thought of and I thought about a lot. I remember being in there with a sledgehammer and being in there like when I had no idea how to play Fallout 3 and like my sledgehammer was about to die and I was picking up every book and I was trying to steal stuff because I just never played a game like that before. And I just remember the Stahl family and I always just remember being like, what are they doing here? That's really all I have for you this week. I hope you enjoyed because that is this week's lore. What are you guys good at? Genuinely, what are you good at? What's something you want to be better at? For this year, a friend at work and I have joked that we were going to start a book club. I just want to read more. I've been going a little crazy, honestly, ordering stuff online lately. Like, I bought the stuff for the show and bought a couple things for myself with my own money, not, like, podcast money. And I've been buying books, buying comics and... Yeah, I'm just trying to like get better. Like I want to read more, man. Like I just feel like there's so much more knowledge out there and I feel like my time has finally opened up this year. The end of last year, I feel like I really had a chance to start reading again. I got a book sitting on my nightstand next to a bunch of Japanese Kit Kats that I have to read. Like I have to finish the book. I'm on like the last 20 pages and I just haven't brought myself to read it. But in the meantime, I'm also reading 6 different comics, 2 trade paperbacks and a graphic novel. And it's one of those things where, like, I was never a very strong reader. It's a big reason why I write the notes, because I feel like I have a better grasp because I write them. And even though it's my handwriting, it still can be hard to read them because I'm dyslexic. And it's just, like, a thing that, like, I've always wanted to read comic books. And now that I'm trying to get better at reading, I'm trying to get faster at reading, I'm trying to improve a skill. It's weird. It's, like, a weird self-referential thing of, like, you know, you're trying to beat yourself at your own game because I can't read quickly. Like, that just is what it is. I just can't read quickly. Like, I know who I am. And it's a thing that I have to read things 2, 3, 4, 5 times over because of my dyslexia. And I didn't get told, I've probably told this before, I didn't get told I had dyslexia until I was like almost out of high school. And I had a teacher's like, well, now you can do something about it. I'm like, dude, I'm 18. What is it going to change? I lived like half of my life at that point. What is it going to change? Like, I don't know. It's the thing I was thinking about. It's the thing I think about a lot is what people are good at. Like, not even just like, I'm good at working out. Or I don't even know if you could really be good at that. But like, I'm good at this. I'm good at being disciplined. But like, what are you, like, are you a good friend? Like, how do you become a better friend? How do you become a better listener? How do you become a more charitable person? Like, how do you become better at things that you're not good at? Like, what are you not good at? What do you not, that's actually a really good date question. What's something you're not good at that you wish you were good at and you can work towards? Kind of a two-parter, but still, like, you know, that's just like, if you died right now and could speak to God, if there is a God, and you were given one question that you could ask, what's the first question you're asking? Like, you're dead. No, maybe you're not dead. In this situation, who knows? Let's say you're not dead in this situation. I think I'd probably ask about the Kennedy assassination. Or Jimmy Hoffa's body. Which I know is such a shitty thing to ask. Maybe the OJ Martin. Nah, I don't know. I think, I mean, if you want to do, like, a serious question, I think it might have been, like, how many moments... it's kind of a two-parter. But, like, how many moments quantifiably did I bring people genuine happiness? And I don't mean like jump for joy happiness, but I mean that quiet smile that you get from just being thought about. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's something that I would ask. I think I would ask something like, was it all worth it? Did I do it correctly? Those are questions, unquantifiable questions, which even me saying them out loud, I know I wouldn't be able to get an answer out of them. It's kind of, you know, this it's kind of like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Like, who cares? Like, you know, that, or is it like, is that a metaphor for something else? Like, that's the very literal, oh, that's one hand folding upon itself. Willie DeWitt and Chat goes, how do you justify yourself? That's It's a good question. How do you justify yourself? Not even just because you're speaking to a deity, but how would you... I'm going to ask that to somebody. I'm going to ask somebody... I had an argument with somebody at work today, and they were being all pious. Maybe pious is the wrong word, but they, you know, they're acting like their shit didn't stink. And I think I might hit them with that. I think I might hit them with the, how do you justify yourself? Go ask questions, guys. Get better. I believe in you. I love you. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, episode 334. I want to give a big shout out to the Patreon. Thank you once again to Willie DeWitt, who's here for the live recording of this episode. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster, and you get all of his music over at silvermansounds.com/freemusic. And like I said, my song, our song, the collective embodiment of music that is the Shane Ivers track, that I use for the intro is called Feather Duster. Check out the Discord. There's a link in the description. Also the Redbubble, links to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. That's all I have. Thank you for being here. Happy New Year. I love you. I'll be seeing you all very, very soon. Be safe. Tip your waitress. Love you.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.